On today's episode, we talk about how to create high converting call to actions.
And how to make sure that your offer will close the sale.
Next Wave DV is the story of our journey growing Creative Edge Productions from a tiny studio in my basement to one of the leading video marketing agencies in the Midwest. So join us on our continuing mission of mastering video marketing.
Welcome back to the Mastering Video Marketing Podcast. I'm Tony Reale.
And I'm Ben Carlson.
And today we are continuing our series on creating the perfect social media ad.
Giving away the secret sauce. We're
giving it all away.
Yeah.
Hope you guys can use it to your benefit.
Yes, please.
So a few weeks ago, we talked about our formula, which is basically the way that we approach social media ads. You know, Facebook in particular, because that's Facebook and Instagram are the most common platforms to do these types of social media ads on. YouTube, you know, TikTok, everybody, you know, each platform's a little different,
right?
But the most dominant ones are going to still be able to fit within this format.
Yeah.
So that was our secret formula episode, which you can watch. And then we've been breaking down each of the kind of modules in it. And so this is the final module, the third module. Yeah. We're doing in our own episode specifically about it because, again, it's a big topic.
It's kind of a big deal.
And we definitely wanted to kind of cover all the main beats on that. So the thing that we're talking about today primarily is the end or the call to action section on the ad. So if you watch the previous episodes, you'll understand each of those modules and how we approach them and why they're so important in that process. But the call to action, you know, it's in sales training, I've worked in inside sales, kiosk sales, door-to-door sales, all sorts of different sales. And what's funny is one of the most important things that they teach you is you got to also ask for the sale.
Ask for the order.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of people make that mistake. They get so excited. They get a customer all on board. Yeah. They're like, this is great. I'm sold. Let's do this.
Yep.
And then they never ask for the sale.
And I don't know what that mind block is in, because a lot of salespeople deal with this. I've always wanted, because I've done sales my whole life. Same thing, you know, I was a Kirby sales guy for a week. But I did a lot of the kiosk sales, door-to-door sales. But it's amazing how many people they really do a great job of qualifying and they get it everything lined up where they know they're solving a customer's problem. The customer knows that this product is solving a problem, and then they just choke on the end because it's like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to ask for their money. Oh, I don't know. Are they really gonna like it? Is this yes? Like if you are offering a product or service that you really believe in, that you really believe is gonna ask for it. We used to do for sales training, we would do Bigger Better. Have you ever played Bigger Better?
No, I don't know if
we
have.
So we would like the entire, we'd usually do it once or twice a year, where the whole like sales meeting, we would just say, all right, here's a paperclip. Whoever comes back with the best thing wins.
Oh, sure.
So we would take that paperclip and then it was like a scavenger hunt to go out and be like, all right, I'll trade. And we go into random businesses, people that we met on the street. And we got some wild things. I mean, we got free pizzas. We got a couch once. Decorative art. And it was all about breaking that mental barrier of just ask for the order. The worst that they're going to say is no.
Well, you're famous when we go out traveling. I love letting Ben be in charge of our travel plans because he has no issue going up to somebody at a hotel and being like, so.
So hey. What are the chances? This is my favorite line. This is a free nugget for you. Whenever you're out, if it's out to eat or asking for hotel upgrades, airline upgrades, what are the chances that you would have an extra room? Is there, because that is so non-threatening. Because if they say, no, we don't got anything. Oh, cool. No, yeah, free to ask. If they say, yes, perfect. You have a free upgraded room. And I actually talk about this a lot because my friends all know that I do it. And what I found is, you know, people ask, like, how do you get all this stuff for free? And once you get in that expectation, and I'm never mean about it, like, oh, or feel entitled to it. Mm-hmm. That's never the case. And if the answer is no, the answer is no. But once you start getting in the habit of it, I'm amazed at how much now just happens naturally, where it'll be just talking nicely with the people because you start building those relationships and you start building that rapport. And people start offering free upgrades or like, oh, let me throw this in. But you don't get there if you're not comfortable asking for it. And so that's really what this whole thing boils down to is you've already done a great job of creating your hook. You've created the body. You've crafted everything so perfectly. you, if you don't drive it home, unless it's maybe if it's just a brand awareness ad that you're running, that's all you're going to get. But there, I'm amazed at how many ads I've seen online where it's this great ad. It's like, oh, I'm really interested. And
now what do I
do? And now what do I do? Yeah. And you might get, oh, come to my website, and it's not a landing page. It's just, oh, here's the front page of their website. Yeah. Yep.
Which we talk about all the time is a horrible place to just send somebody. Yeah. Unless your website is just basic, a basic landing page in its design.
Right.
It's more than likely designed to send people in different directions. Learn more about us. You know, here's all the products that we offer. This is a history of our company. You know, usually those are the things that are on most websites. It's not a good thing of like, here's the next clean, simplified step in the process. And I think we need to do a whole episode just talking about landing pages and that next step. So once you close out the ad, great, I've got an interested person. Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? And if you drop the ball here, you could be right at the end zone and get nothing because you didn't get it all the way into that touchdown. So the other thing I'll say, going back to sales training, one technique that I've learned that it's always good, and this is something you can incorporate into your ads as well, is the implied close.
Sure, yeah.
And so or instead of going, close, are you interested in this or do you think you want a ticket? Do you want that in red or blue? Mm. Like now we're, that's the decision. The decision isn't, do I want this? It's which of this do I want? Yeah. Or how soon do I want? When can we set up? You know, like we're, you know, for us, we're as a creative marketing agency, you know, we only can onboard so many clients at a time. Yep. And so we might say like, all right, you know, we have one slot available next month for an onboarding. Would you like that? Or do you want to wait until May?
Yeah.
That right there, that can be, right, you know, your implied close right there. So that you can incorporate into your ads as well is to the next step or that next process isn't, hey, maybe would you be, maybe it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if you're stuck around this part, because usually the call to action is either at the end of the ad or you might have like one kind of in the middle of the ad, sure, and then bring it back home at the end. So at this point, people have stuck around long enough. They're interested.
They're in. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yes, so the call to action is a vitally important step in the ad. You need to be making it really clear as to what are the next steps for people to take.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really important in that call to action is making sure that you have done a good job of what we call offer enhancement. And this is a process that we, again, as we've refined into what our marketing agency services are, we realize this is something that we have to incorporate into all of our customers because the offer that they have or their, you know, their, the messaging that they have, they might be really excited about it. They might really believe in it, but it may not be translating perfectly one-to-one to the customer side of things.
Can you briefly just go through the 40-40-20 rule? Like really brief, just because that really is a huge part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, the 40-40-20 rule is something we've talked about in the past many times, but the idea that the success of an ad campaign has to do with 40% the audience you're putting the marketing material in front of. Again, like if I'm selling a product to new mothers and my ads are only showing up to college boys, that's not the right audience.
Sorry.
It's like college men, but I'm like that. Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
Okay, yes. To all you college boys
getting boys.
Hey, I'm
approaching 40. I can, they're boys.
Oh my goodness. All right.
So if you're putting it there, you know, if your offer is not going in front of the right people, then you're going to have problems there. The next 40% is that offer itself.
Yeah.
You know, if we are, you know, as a marketing agency, we're a higher ticket item. So if we're going to a small little mom and pop shop that can't afford, you know, anything that we offer and we're trying hard to sell them, it could be, we could have this amazing product that would be do so much for them, but if it's not the right audience and it's not the right offer for them, that's not going to work. And then the final 20% is the creative. It's and so, you know, that's why we joke many times that it was when we discovered that 40-40-20 rule, we're like, oh man, we're only a part of the 20%. Oh man.
We thought it was at least like 70.
Yeah, exactly. But knowing those three main categories, the creative is super important. You know, that helps with branding and image and all that kind of stuff. But that's why like there can be good ad campaigns that run that have like the worst, you know, like horrible graphic design, yeah. horrible imagery, you know, mm-hmm. bad spokespersons, but like they have such a killer offer
yeah.
that people still who go cares? And they've done such a good job at targeting it at the right people
right.
that they still walk away with money. You know, yeah. you hear stories of like Alex Hormozi when in his early days when he was doing his gym launch program, he's like, I don't know how to do any of these. He just did a, like a text-based ad, not even an image on it. And he was making money off of that.
Sure.
Now, things have changed since then, but like that's, you know, the right offer and the right audience can still convert.
Yeah.
But that last 20% is really how you can elevate and stand out on the sea of social media content sure. that's out there. But coming back to that offer, that's where we're at. Now we're at that phase in there. You know, the audience, a lot of that has happened hopefully in the hook or in the body side where it's like, mm-hmm. all right, this is who this ad and this product or service is aimed after. So those are the people that we're hoping to have stuck around. But now if they're at the end, now that offer needs to close it in. So, and again, you know, Russell Brunson in one of his books, talked about, and I use this a lot because it's such a great, it's so clear when I explain yeah. this to people, it is so clear. They were doing a conference and they had this little girl come up and they were talking about how to do offer enhancement. And they used the analogy of like, would you pay $100 an hour for a babysitter? Now, unless you're in New York or something like that, I'm guessing no, you yeah. probably wouldn't. But then they started saying, well, what if the babysitter came with her own like educational resources yeah. to teach the kids something? What if she came with healthy snacks? What if she did your dishes and your laundry while you were there? What Done. If she cleaned Sold. The house?
Yep.
You know, now we start stacking all these things on there. Now, well, yeah, I'd pay $100 an hour for a babysitter. Sure, yeah. All that stuff that she's doing. Okay. So yeah. it's not that people won't spend the money. It's that you haven't reached a level of value to then click over for this to be worth it.
Sure.
So that's the thing that in all of this you have to be doing. Is your value worth more than the price that you're listing?
Yeah.
You know, we say it all the time. You know, the only way it's a sales transaction happens is when the money in my wallet is worth less than the problem that your product or service is solving
Absolutely.
For me.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and for everybody, that problem is different. For me, I will gladly go out and buy a new gaming console or a VR headset or a video game because I value that.
Yeah.
But for, you know, my wife, she doesn't care about video games. So she's like, well, I would never buy that if it wasn't, you know, for you.
Sure.
And so, like everybody's value is different. And so what I would be willing to spend money for is going to be different what you're willing to spend Correct. Money for. And so again, that's why audience targeting is so important. But when we get to that call to action, you have to be making sure that it isn't just buy now.
Yeah.
This is also mm-hmm. we're value stacking in this process. We want to be finding ways that we can be adding value, the perceived value to the customer. And this is the perfect place to do it.
Sure.
And you'll see it a lot in sales courses where they'll be like, you know, all right, so our sales course includes this thing and it's, you know, this alone would be worth $2,000. And then we're also adding in this thing. And this yeah. would be worth $3,000. And like, you know, they value stack all the way up to like, this course is worth $10,000, but we're selling it to you for only $9.95.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I guess, you know, that's, I would pay just, you know, a great example of this is the Ginsu knives.
This is my favorite. Yeah. yeah. You talk about this all the time.
Yeah. So, you know, Ginsu, like for example, they might have 20 knives.
Yeah.
And they will sell for $20.
Right.
And so you think, okay, $1 a knife, right? Yep. That's not how they sell Ginsu knives. The way that they sell Ginsu knives is they'll say, look at this knife. This one knife, it's amazing. It can slice, it can dice, it can chop, it can do all these amazing things. This knife is worth $20. They're like, it's worth $50, but we're going to sell it to you for $20.
Yeah.
And if you buy now, we're going to throw in these other 19 knives for free.
Right. So it's no longer, oh, I'm getting 20 $1 knives. I'm now getting 20 $50 knives right. for only $20 because
yeah.
look at how great this value is. So that's, and I feel like that's something that people see you once you catch it and once you spot it, it's everywhere. Any type of infomercial or any type of online, any commercial just about now has that formula and it works.
Yep.
It works very much.
And so I think we need to do a whole episode on offer enhancement and value stacking because yeah. it's such an important thing. And it's something that we, you know, again, we're a video production company yeah. that moved into a marketing agency and then realized like in order for us to see higher conversion rates for our customers, for them to see better success rates in yeah. there, we have to also take them through this process.
Correct.
And so we've done a deep dive into it and learning because we have to do it for ourselves
yep.
and we have to do it for them.
Well, and even from a content strategy, you know, as we're developing the strategy for our clients, what do we have to tweak? If something's not working, what do we have to tweak? Is that the creative? Do we need to have a different commercial? Do we need a different theme or different idea? Do we put it out in front of the right audience, or is it the offer? You know, we have a client that is offering a free consultation for health and wellness coaching. And so she's getting people to come in, but they're just looking for free stuff. Okay. Do we need to change the audience that has, you know, more disposable income, or do we need to change the offer and make it so that it is more not discriminated, but more clear who this is for, and that, no, you know, the consultation might be free, but there is a paid service that you're getting in front of. So that
can be just verbiage. Be like, again, so instead of saying free consultation, we might say something like, come in for your discovery meeting to find out, you know, what is the right package for you.
The custom plan for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, again, when you go in a car dealership and you do a test drive, you know, they don't say free test drive, you know, it's implied that there is no cost to it.
Yeah.
But the reason that you're getting a test drive is because I want to see if this is the right car for me or not. That's the whole point. So like, again, to what you're saying, we could spend a lot of time tweaking the ad platform and going, all right, let's narrow it down. Less of these people, more in this, you know, more in the affluent region of the area, or okay, going after this demographic that typically has more money. Well,
we could do that.
Yeah, the college boys, exactly. We could go after that, or we could be going after tweaking the offer so that then it's getting the right people to be more interested.
Resonating with the correct audience and your target demographic. Yep. Absolutely.
And so that's why I say that's such an important step, because don't just leave it at like, go to our website or call us today or whatever like that. There, in that area, that's how you can find it. And the other thing is, like, in this process, you know, the last thing we'll say too is, don't make that where, all right, now we're going to show them everything. You know, the point of this ad is usually you're funneling them to one widget, one thing, one offer, whatever it might be. But don't be like, all right, now we can, you know, go to our website. We sell this widget, but we also sell these 20 other widgets. You can go there, you can buy this widget or that, you know, like, that's another mistake that a lot of people go. And especially in their landing page, when they go there and it's like, here's all these 20 other things.
Yeah.
We'll do an episode where we talk about landing page design, but if you have other things to offer, let those become later on.
Sure.
You know, go to the website, go to the landing page. You know, I've sold you on this one thing. I'm going to take you down that funnel just of that one thing. Once they're ready to buy, and again, you probably see this all the time. It's like, all right, I'm about ready. All right, would you like these other things? Would you like, you know, click this to quickly add it to your cart before you close it out? Here's a one-time offer that you won't get again.
It's a candy bar at the cash register.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So don't dump that in front of them beforehand, because they might start going, I haven't really thought that much about it. I guess I'm going
to
wait on this.
Or to that point where it's like, I'm really set. I can make this decision right now. But now if I have to think about it, I need to make more decisions. And there's other things to factor in. Yeah, maybe I should take a little bit longer and think about this. And they walk away.
Right.
You say a lot, the confused customer never buys. And so creating that clear, concise call to action provides them a way where they can be like, yes, I can feel secure in this. I've got the information I need. I can move ahead with this decision.
Exactly. And when you're building that call to action into your ad, again, it will likely come at the end, but you can also sprinkle one like kind of halfway through the ad, depending on it. And then when we talked about in the last episode, how we build all these things in a modular format, you can kind of squeeze a call to action in there, or do the soft sell where it's just like, doesn't sound great. You know, go to our website to learn more. Then continue selling. Maybe we hop into the testimonial section of the ad or something like that, more social proof. And then you do the big close at the end. So that's how we kind of try to build those ads structurally. So then it's like, if somebody is like already sold, you know, don't shut up and take the sale. It's we say all the time. I worked with so many sales associates when I worked in retail where they're like, you could see the moment where it's like the customer's like, yeah, I think I'll take that sound system. Great. Yeah. This has the speakers are amazing. And, you know, it's got an HDMI pass through. You know, it'd be so amazing in your place. And I'm just, you know, okay, you know, that's great. Let's do this. Oh, and you know, it also comes with like,
stop talking.
Shut up and take a sale.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I think it was a good one.
Yeah.
We have a lot more to talk about. So stay tuned for the next episode. We are going to be talking more about that offer enhancement, landing page design. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll see what the next one is, because deal, whatever we feel like, but there's going
to
be a lot.
Yeah. And if you like this one, feel free, click like, subscribe, whatever, wherever you may be listening to this podcast, whether it's YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it may be, feel free, subscribe. We love to hear from you. Comment below, join us on our socials, on all the socials,
all the social media.
And yeah, we'll see you there.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.